For those of you who may be new today, this is actually Kathy and my third Sunday back after a three-month leave that was a wonderful gift given to us by you, by this congregation, and by the Lilly Endowment. And of course, we were preparing to leave on that leave, and you know, we love this place. We can't just leave things hanging, and of course, we didn't, because Greg Dana stepped forward, and I'd like to ask Greg Dana to step forward now, along with Elders Cheryl Thomas and Laura Vlaming, who are part of our summer planning team, to cover, well, what's going to happen in the summer? I mean, is the church just going to sort of like close while we're gone? The answer to that, of course, is no. All the wonderful things that usually happen at church in the summer happen, plus some, plus more. And they happened under the wise and gentle and fun leadership of Greg Dana. And I can't imagine a more trustworthy soul to whom to entrust this congregation. So Greg, Kathy and I are most grateful to you for the wonderful pastoring and substitute preaching, because he dubbed himself our substitute preacher, that you did all summer long. And all of us in the church are in your debt, and we're grateful to you, and we want you to know of our gratitude and affection for you, not just for that, but for that as well. So.
I have just a few things that I would like to say as we present a gift to Greg on behalf of all of us. Greg, while you were one of many that shared your gifts this summer, we learned that you yourself have many gifts, and we were certainly blessed that you shared them with us with grace and with love. You provided spiritual and church leadership, writing wonderful articles and shavings, keeping office hours, sharing the news of the Bostroms with us, guiding our session meetings, and generally keeping us all connected. Your shavings article, the last one, talks about appreciation, and it was very appropriate and a good message for all of us as we end the summer. So Greg, we thank you for the gifts you shared with us and all you've done to help this journey be a wonderful experience for Greg and Kathy, for all of the Bostrom family, and for all of us here at Wildwood. We have a gift for you and Anne. We wanted you to have something that you could look at from time to time for all the fun and at times the chaos that came with being a part of the life of this church. So thank you.
When I first heard about this substitute preacher gig that was available to me, I thought that for Greg and Kathy to be away for a leave to rekindle their spirits, I thought that was a really, really good idea. And I thought it was a good thing for all of us here at Wildwood Church to exercise our spiritual muscles and exercise all of our gifts among ourselves for the 15 weeks. I thought that was a good thing too, but I wasn't so sure this was going to be a good thing for me personally. It's been many, many years since I'd had this kind of responsibility in a church, but it turned out that it was, and I'm so grateful for the confidence that Greg and Kathy displayed in turning over their church to me for 15 weeks, and for all the people, those listed on the paper you have in front of you, that contributed in wonderful ways to this being an excellent summer. Greg and Kathy, we missed you, but not too much. And I think that's the great combination of this summer, and I'm so grateful to be a part of it and for all of you to join me in it.
Actually, what almost everyone tells us, it's really funny, is really what we wanted and hoped to hear. The first thing they say is, we're glad you're back, which is nice to know, but because you know there's a but coming. We're glad you're back, but we had a really good summer. The sermons were great, and the music was wonderful, and the Bible school was terrific, and mission trips were awesome, and all the things happened, and more. And so, Greg, we are grateful to you, and we're grateful to all the people here, and we tried, I'm sure we don't have all the names in there, and if we missed yours, please let me know. But we do want to honor folks here, like, how about our preachers, everybody who preached this summer? We had some Presbyterian pastors. Just stand where you are. Are they all at the early service? Oh. All our preachers were at the early service. That's interesting. Well, next time we go away for 3 months, this service is going to have to produce. Where?
Anthony.
Oh, Anthony in the audio booth back there. Thank you. We had some folks step up and lead worship to be the other pastor to pray during worship. If you're one of those folks, stand. How about if you did one of the children's times over the summer? If you would stand and just remain standing. How about our summer musicians? We had some truly wonderful music. I hear it was terrific this summer, and I have it on CD, so we're going to be hearing it. We had the WPC care team making visits in hospitals and nursing homes and pastoral calls. If you're interested, please stand. We had a couple of different planning teams, folks that helped us plan our time away and then plan the summer. If you were part of the team, as Cheryl and Laura were, if you'd stand. How about these beautiful banners that we make here, that we've made, the banner committee, if you folks would stand, all the people who glorify God with that, with beauty there. And our building office team. We had some folks that worked extra hard. I think Greg Whitaker worked all night to cool this building down during Bible school once. So somehow, there he is, the air conditioning man. A lot. If you were at Bible school, you're clapping right now because we needed it. Anyway, all of you and all of you who just kept the church going, and because the church here in Wildwood continued to be the church all summer long, as we knew it would. So, Kathy?
Let's take a moment to turn to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you have blessed us with people of such wonderful gifts, and all of us have been given gifts, and some of us a new chance to use them this summer, and we're grateful for all the ways that people have been the body of Christ here in these times that Greg and I have been away, and in the wonderful hands of Greg Dane and all those who have stepped forward to make this a joyful and welcoming place, as you've asked us to do. So thank you for the blessings of our gifts and the joy of seeing others use their gifts in your name, and guide us all to continue to be your glad and faithful people in the name of Jesus Christ. And let all God's people say together, amen.
What'd you get, Greg?
Picture book of lots and lots of photographs, a custom-made book about the summer, my being substitute preacher. Thank you so much.
And Kathy will be having surgery next week, so I asked Greg, I said, I know it's soon, but you like to come back and lead worship next Sunday? And he said, you know, I'm sort of used to it, and I sort of like it, so sure, I'll be back next Sunday. We turn now to the scriptures, and we read first from the 19th Psalm, which was our call to worship and also our anthem today. Hear the word of God. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. But there is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And then two verses from Paul's letter to the Philippians, where he advises them thus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we decided not to do a 10-part sermon series on what I did on my summer vacation. So today we begin a fall sermon series on living the good life. And you know, in some ways, life doesn't seem so good after the economy tanked, and we do not underestimate the financial challenges that face nearly everyone these days, and the church is not immune. Like all of us, the church is feeling the money pinch too. But surely living the good life, requires more than a rising stock market and a balanced budget. And so we'll be talking about some of the opportunities that we have to choose to live lives that matter, to choose to live a full life, to choose to live the good life. And as we start, Kathy and I look back with gratitude at the amazing opportunity that you gave us to renew, reflect, and recreate our own lives this past summer. And so many of you have asked about our varied summer experiences that I thought we'd begin the sermon today by talking about them. So we'll begin at the beginning, where every journey should start, with packing your bags. We walked out of the sanctuary on May 10th, Confirmation Sunday, and went home and started to pack. And we were, you know, what do you take to your daughter's graduation, which is followed by another month of travel? And should we take one large bag apiece, or would it be better to take two small bags apiece so that we could be flexible and it would be more easy to do? And then there was the ride to the airport. And wouldn't you know construction was bad that day? So we were late, we were behind schedule already on the very first day.
What? This just won't do.
What do you mean? They want to hear about our summer.
You're trying to tell them everything. I mean, everything. I think maybe we need to kind of cut it a little short.
Oh, well, yeah. I suppose you have a better idea?
Well, I do, actually. Would you like to see it?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Not bad, Kath. I see you managed to work in how I crashed my knee and the car within 2 days of each other. That's pretty good. I want to thank Rick Lowe for the musical accompaniment and Anthony Zott for making all that media stuff work. So we really thank all of you for the opportunity of a lifetime. We couldn't begin to describe it all in a single sermon. We are going to have a night in later October where if you really want to see more pictures and a little video, we'll be glad to do that. And occasionally, I'm sure the sermon will include a story or two from our time away. We were two of well over 100 pastors who received generous grants from the Lilly Endowment to make their hearts sing. That was what the grant was about. And there was a rather exhaustive application process, and to be honest, most of the other applications that we heard about had a theme that united them. Some folks had a particular interest, like psalm singing or something that they wanted to explore, or they had a skill they wanted to learn, like watercolor painting, and the thread of that interest or skill sort of tied their whole application together, and ours didn't have that, not at all. We just wanted to recharge our batteries, restore the soul, renew the spirit, and we had things that we wanted to do, but they were a bit random, actually. We wanted to do something with our three mostly grown children that we would never have been able to do without that grant, and our French-speaking daughter had always wanted to go to Paris, so voila. 25 years ago, we'd spent 2 days, just 2 days, in Florence, and half the Renaissance is in Florence, and 2 days is not nearly enough to see the beautiful art treasures of Florence. So we wanted to go and spend a little time, 2 weeks exactly, in Florence, and see as much art and, frankly, taste as many flavors of gelato as we could. We thought it would be nice to see an Alp. We never had been to the Presbyterian Seminary, north of San Francisco, where Lori Leiter just graduated, our own Lori Leiter. We'd always love Chautauqua, which is a turn-of-the-century village in New York State, which is sort of a summer camp for adults. And Kathy, the author, wanted to go to a writer's retreat in Ireland, and of course, I couldn't imagine spending 2 weeks in a writer's retreat. I wanted to go west and find some wilderness. So we did a little bit of everything, and it really wasn't until the summer was almost over that we finally saw the silver thread that tied all of these experiences together. It took the experience of all of it to realize that what it was that we'd been seeking and all this traveling and all this museum visiting and hiking and writing and enjoying was this. It was the recovery of beauty. The recovery of beauty. Since we graduated from seminary, we've served as pastors of two churches for over 25 years, and you know, we've seen some people go through tough times, and certainly there's been some wear and tear in all that time that would justify, you know, 2 or 3 weeks away maybe in order to restore our souls. But as many of you know, about 4 years ago, we literally came within 1 centimeter of losing our daughter to a violent crime. And the harm from that struck all 5 of us deeply. We're not alone in that experience, not by a long shot, and that is not the only kind of experience that exacts a high price from people. And above all, we know how fortunate we are that the worst did not happen on that day. But when you go through an experience like that, you come face to face with the ugliness of the world, and you can't paper over it and pretend it isn't real. So our family saw all that up close. And that ugliness was then and still is tempered by the wonderful people who help you through times like that. And I'm looking at the faces of people who did just that. But there's a residue that's left from it. There's an after effect that lingers. There's something awful that hangs on, and it can affect how you see the world. Well, near the end of our leave, Kathy and I decided we would make a list of all the memorable things that had happened, the experiences, the moments that would stick out. And we were struck, as we looked at the list, by the theme that tied them all together. It was the recovery of the beautiful. Practically every moment that we were remembering had something to do with the beautiful in all of its forms. And when you come face to face with the beautiful, it begins to clean some of that residue away. It begins to remove some of that ugly film. Beauty can heal. The psalmist writes that the heavens are telling the glory of God, and the writer looked up into the sky and saw the awesome beauty of the spheres and said that beauty speaks to us in a language that's beyond words. And that language is powerful beyond all telling. And when we look at the beauty of the world around us, it's the glory of God that speaks to our souls. Whereas the psalm writer wrote elsewhere, as deep, the deep of God calls out to the deep within us. The Apostle Paul told the Philippians they should think about what's true and what's honorable and what's just and pure and pleasing. And it wasn't just about the power of positive thinking that he was talking about, as helpful as that can be. It's about focusing on what is true and what is just, what is honorable, because that leads you, if you focus on that, it leads you to encounter the God who is behind all of those good things, the God who's behind every good gift, the God who gives us life in the very beginning, and the God who restores life when it turns ugly on us. Now, the word translated pleasing can be translated differently, and it is in the King James Version, which is how I first learned it and how I first loved to think of it. It's in the King James, it goes, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. The heavens tell the glory of God, and we find ourselves overwhelmed by the beauty around us, and we make room in our souls for the one who formed the mountains and shaped the sunsets. When we think about what is lovely, when we really think about it, we open up a space within our own spirit so the Spirit of God can come into us and bring that peace. These last 3 months, Kathy and I found ourselves constantly in the presence of the beautiful. And in so doing, we came into the presence of the one who makes things beautiful. And without even knowing what we were doing, without even planning it, time and time again, our summer led us to places in which we were supercharged with the beautiful and with the healing power of beauty. We found beauty in the rooftops of Paris, the city of light. We found beauty in the spires of Notre Dame and the glow of the Eiffel Tower against the sky, the shimmering wheat fields of a Vincent van Gogh painting in the Musée d'Orsay. We were awed by the glacier that seemingly cascaded down the mountains toward the village of Chamonix in the French Alps, and one of us soared like a bird over the silent alpine landscape of rock and ice. In Florence, the jewel of the Renaissance, we were overcome by the majesty of Michelangelo's David, by the 6th century Gregorian chant that we heard sung by monks in an ancient church. And we took our own try at creating something beautiful by taking a fresco class and doing our own painting on wet plaster. In between journeys, we found beauty in the familiar and coming home, the simple pleasures of home, that flower that had bloomed during our absence, and hearing the laughter of children in the midst of a quiet night. In Ireland, Kathy was overcome by the convergence of land, sea, and sky, and the gentle welcome of the country people there, who turned out that place where she was into what the Celts call a thin place, a place where heaven and earth come just a breath apart from one another. Out west, I was filled with awe at the grandeurs of God's sculpture of the canyons in Zion, especially when you see them from a rope halfway down a cliff. 2 weeks in the Marin Headlands above San Francisco Bay filled our spirits with a calm and a gratitude that not even a knee injury could ruin. And we watched Shakespeare, done in 1960s psychedelic style, in a theater at night surrounded by redwoods that had been there for centuries. We marveled at the Golden Gate Bridge in a variety of weather and once from below on a sailboat. 2 weeks we were in Chautauqua, that summer camp for adults, surrounded by gorgeous flowers and welcoming porches in that restful place with food for the heart and the mind and the soul in the daily ritual of worship and lecture and symphony and dance and drama. And throughout it all, there was the beauty of the people, the faces that we would meet. The Parisian woman who daily endured my terrible French as I was ordering our breakfast pastries, the gentleman at Gelateria Neri who sold us vast quantities of gelato and patiently waited while we said, "I want that one, no, maybe that one, how about both of those?" Kathy's gracious host at her writer's retreat and the spiritual director that I met in San Francisco and our own Judy Calhoun's mother with whom we stayed when we were in Chautauqua. And then in a delightful intermission in the middle of the trip, our wildfire youth group when I sneaked in for the last few days of the mission trip. Our summer began with beauty in the pageantry of our daughter's graduation from college, and just 4 years after all that had happened to see her graduate, just to see her there was gift enough in itself. Our summer ended in beauty too with the homecoming picnic and the sight of all your faces that day and in the Sundays to follow. Whatever is lovely, think on these things. Whatever is lovely, remember those faces. And the God of peace will be with you. Well, in Florence, we went, just one more story. In Florence, we went late one afternoon to the museum of the cathedral, where many works of art that are no longer kept in the cathedral are held. And we came around a corner and we saw this. We saw Michelangelo's Pietà. The Pietà, of course, is a sculpture of the dead Christ immediately after the crucifixion in his mother Mary's arms. Now, this might not be the more familiar one. Michelangelo actually did four pietas, and this one is perhaps the one you think of. It's in Rome in St. Peter's, and it's quite stunning, this one. This one has been carved amazingly. The body of Christ hangs limp in his mother's arms. And Mary has this marvelous timelessness on her face. And the marble is scrubbed clean and sanded so smoothly. It's just stunning. But in Florence, the Pietà we saw was different. It was unfinished, imperfect, rough. But in many ways, it was all the more beautiful because of it. In this one, you see on the left, you see probably Mary Magdalene. On the right, you see Mary, the mother of Jesus, holding her son. And behind is Nicodemus, who came to the cross to receive the body of Jesus and then to bury it in a tomb. And the interesting thing about Nicodemus is that the face of Nicodemus is actually the face of Michelangelo. He sculpted his own face, a self-portrait, there on the face of Nicodemus, the one who is holding up with one arm Mary and with the other arm Jesus. Well, we walked in, and of course it was quite crowded, people all around the sculpture, but it was late in the day, and we were on our way out of the museum, actually, and we happened to walk by the room where the sculpture was, and it was amazing, sort of a miracle. There was no one there, no one. And Kathy and I had 15 minutes alone with this masterpiece of Michelangelo, 15 minutes to come walk around it, to stand and gaze in awe at it, to look at each and every angle, to see the Christ after his sufferings there, being held by his mother with such compassion, to see the hand of Nicodemus around Mary and the other arm supporting Jesus. Perhaps Michelangelo himself wanting in sculpture to be supporting and upholding his Lord. And then, of course, to look into those faces again and into the face of Nicodemus. 15 minutes of silence with this masterpiece. I hope you go to Florence, but you may never. And even if you do, you probably won't get 15 minutes alone with this amazing work of art. But I thought about it later, each of us really does have the opportunity to seek beauty. We can find beauty in that flower in the yard, in the tree, the oak tree that spreads its sheltering branches and gives us shade, and in the softness of a new snowfall. We can come face to face with beauty in a photograph of a beautiful place, or even better, we can close our eyes and we can go anywhere we want in the quiet of our own mind and soak in the beauty of any place we choose. We can find beauty in one of D. Weinhandel's stained glass windows, or in Virginia Morisot's Tree of Life out there, her work of art in the Fellowship Hall. We can find beauty in a Vincent van Gogh painting in the Art Institute of Chicago. You might find beauty on your refrigerator in your daughter's drawing of your family. You'll find beauty in your daughter, in your wife, in your father, in your friend. You find beauty in the faces around us that are all unfinished. We're all imperfect. We're all a little rough, really, aren't we? And yet, if you look close enough, the light shines through. If you really look into those faces, if you really seek beauty, then I think you'll see what you see when you look at the face of Nicodemus. when you look at the faces around you, you will see the beauty, and you'll see even beyond the beauty. You'll see in that face the face of the maker, the one who sculpted the masterpiece that is the face of each one of us. Thanks be to God for the beauty we find in this world, in one another. Amen. And let's worship God now with